Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
Close your eyes for just a moment. What do you hear? The hum of a computer? The distant rumble of traffic? Maybe a siren weaving through the streets?
The white noise of the city.
Exactly. Now, imagine a different soundscape. The rustle of leaves in a light breeze. A bird call, clear and sharp. The soft crunch of earth under your feet. Which one feels more like home to your nervous system?
There's no contest, is there? For me, that question is everything. I spent years in a high-rise, convinced that the energy of the city was what fueled me. But I hit a point where my brain just felt static. I couldn't focus. I was irritable, and creativity felt like a distant memory. I was completely burned out on urban life.
And that's what's always drawn me to this topic, but from a different angle. I'm fascinated by the data. The measurable cognitive load, the attention fatigue, the constant low-level stress that our urban environments place on our brains. It's not just a feeling of being overwhelmed. It's a quantifiable, physiological state. We weren't built for this constant barrage of stimuli.
Right. It's an evolutionary mismatch, and that's what we're here to talk about today. We're going to explore the hidden impact that urbanization is having on our mental health and our cognitive functions.
But this isn't an episode about escaping the city. It's about learning how to thrive within it. We're going to delve into a practice backed by a growing mountain of scientific evidence that can act as a powerful antidote. We're talking about forest bathing.
And we promise it's simpler and drier than it sounds. It's about how we can consciously and strategically use nature to reset our brains, restore our focus, and find a sense of calm in the chaos.
So the question we're really asking today is a profound one. In a world that is only getting faster and louder, what is the most powerful tool for upgrading your mind? Isn't in an app or a supplement, but is waiting just outside, in the quiet wisdom of the trees.
We've got some incredible stories and some fascinating science ahead. Let's get into it.
So, let's start with the name itself, because I think for a lot of people, forest bathing sounds, well, a little strange. You imagine a bathtub in the middle of the woods.
Right. Or that you have to get wet. I remember the first time I heard the term, I was skeptical. I thought, okay, is this just a new trendy name for taking a walk?
And that's the most common misconception. The term actually comes from a Japanese practice called Shinrin-yoku, which translates to taking in the forest atmosphere. It's not about hiking or exercise. There's no destination.
No destination. That's a really key point, isn't it? Because when I go for a hike, I have a goal. I'm trying to get to the summit, or the waterfall, or just get my heart rate up.
Precisely. That's still a very urban mindset, goal-oriented, focused on achievement. Forest bathing is the opposite. It's about intentionally slowing down and engaging all five of your senses. It's about permission. Permission to just be there.
So, what does that actually look like? Are you just standing there?
Sometimes, yes. Or walking incredibly slowly. Maybe you spend 10 minutes just watching the way light filters through the leaves. Or you close your eyes and try to isolate every single sound you can hear. You might touch the bark of a tree, feel the texture. It's about shifting from the thinking part of your brain to the sensing part.
I tried that once, and it was surprisingly difficult. My brain just kept going. Okay, I'm touching the bark. Now what? Am I doing this right? How much longer should I do this for? The city brain is a hard thing to switch off.
It is. But the fascinating thing is what happens on a physiological level when you manage to, even for a few moments. The science here is just incredible. Researchers in Japan and South Korea have found that when we're in a forest, we breathe in these airborne aromatic compounds released by trees called phytoncides.
Phytoncides. Wait, So the trees are actually emitting something?
They are. It's essentially their immune system. They release these chemicals to protect themselves from insects and rot. And the studies show that when humans inhale these compounds, it can lead to a significant increase in the activity of our own immune cells, specifically, the natural killer or NK cells, which fight tumors and viruses.
Wow! So it's not just a psychological effect of feeling calm. You're literally breathing in a chemical that boosts your body's defenses.
That's what the data suggests, and that's just one mechanism. We haven't even touched on the impact on cortisol levels, blood pressure, or the parts of the brain associated with rumination and stress.
Okay, so that idea of rumination really hits home for me. That feeling of a thought just looping over and over. It feels like the signature ailment of city life. The idea that just the air in a forest could start to break that cycle, that's profound.
It is. And that looping, that rumination, is directly tied to a part of our brain's wiring. Neuroscientists talk about the default mode network, or the DMN.
The DMN. Okay, what's that?
Think of it as the brain's idle state. It's what kicks in when you're not focused on a specific task. It's responsible for self-reflection, thinking about the past, worrying about the future.
So, it's the anxiety network.
It can be, especially when it's overactive, which studies suggest is common in people with depression and anxiety. It becomes the home of that looping, ruminating thought. And here's the crucial part. Urban environments with their constant low-level threats, a car horn, a sudden crowd, they keep that network firing. But nature does the opposite. It quiets the DMN.
How? I mean, what is it about a tree that tells my brain to stop worrying about that email I have to send?
It's a concept called soft fascination. A city street demands your direct attention. You have to watch for traffic, navigate pedestrians. It's hard, focused work. But a forest scene, a cloud moving across the sky, the pattern of leaves, it engages your attention effortlessly. It holds your interest, but leaves enough room in your brain for reflection. That soft focus allows the DMN to quiet down.
Soft fascination. I like that. It feels right. It's like you can let your guard down. But you know, it's not just the mental chatter. Sometimes, just the visual noise of the city is exhausting. The billboards, the flashing lights, the sheer density of straight lines and hard angles.
You've just hit on the other piece of the puzzle. Our visual systems didn't evolve to process endless grids and sharp 90-degree angles. They evolved to process the patterns of the natural world.
What kind of patterns?
Fractals. The repeating, self-similar patterns you see everywhere in nature. The branching of a tree, the veins in a leaf, the shape of a coastline, a snowflake. Our brains are hardwired to process these patterns with incredible ease. It's visually restorative. Looking at fractals has been shown to reduce stress by as much as 60%.
60%? That's unbelievable. So when I feel that sense of relief looking out over a valley, or just staring at the branches of a big oak tree, my brain is literally taking a breath because it's finally seeing a language it understands.
It's a visual homecoming. You're giving your prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain responsible for that hard, directed attention, a much-needed break. You're shifting from effortful focus to this effortless, soft fascination.
This raises a question for me, then. If it's about processing these visual patterns, does it have to be real? Could I get some of this benefit just by putting a huge high-res photo of a forest on my wall? Or running a nature scene on my computer monitor?
It's a great question, and the research is pretty interesting on this. The answer is yes, to a degree. Studies have shown that even looking at pictures of nature or having a window with a natural view in a hospital room can speed up recovery and lower stress.
But I'm guessing there's a catch.
The catch is that it's only one piece. A picture gives you the fractals, but it doesn't give you the fightin' sides. It doesn't give you the feeling of the breeze, the sound of the birds, the smell of damp earth.
The full sensory immersion. You can't bathe in the atmosphere of a photograph.
Exactly. It's the difference between looking at the menu and actually tasting the food. The embodied experience is irreplaceable. The data on fractals is powerful, but it's only one channel of information your brain is receiving.
And that's what I keep coming back to as we wrap this up. We've talked about all this amazing science, the fight on sides, the default mode network. But I can already hear people listening to this in their apartment, thinking, that's lovely, but the nearest actual forest is a 2-hour drive and a world away. What then? Are we just out of luck?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I think the research offers a really hopeful answer here. It's not an all-or-nothing game. The concept of nature snacks is gaining a lot of traction for this very reason.
Nature snacks. I like the sound of that. So it's not a 3-course meal in the woods. It's, what, a handful of trail mix on a park bench?
Something like that, yes. It's about finding those small doses. Even 5 minutes spent intentionally looking at a single tree in a city park has been shown to start lowering cortisol. It's about noticing the fractal patterns in a potted plant on your desk. It's about opening a window to hear birdsong instead of just having background noise.
So the principle is the same. Engaging the senses, finding that soft fascination, but just on a micro scale. It becomes less about the grand location and more about the intention you bring to the moment.
That's the core of it. The intention to consciously shift your attention away from the hard focus of the urban world and onto something natural, even for a moment.
That feels much more achievable. I guess my final thought on all of this, then, is that I came into this conversation thinking of forest bathing as this big, separate activity, an event. But it sounds more like a skill you can weave into the fabric of your day-to-day life.
I think that's the perfect way to frame it. For me, the biggest takeaway is this profound irony that we're constantly trying to biohack our way to better focus and less stress with apps and gadgets, when our own biology is already primed for a solution that's been here all along. We just have to remember how to access it.
A powerful reminder. Well, that feels like a perfect place to leave it for today. Thank you, as always, for the insights.
And thank you. It's been a fascinating conversation.
To everyone listening, we hope this gives you a new lens through which to see the green spaces around you, no matter how small. Find your nature snack this week. Thanks for tuning in.